Come on, church, give him praise today. The name above all names.
Jesus, Jesus, we love you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus.
We all walked in here today with a conflict. The enemy of your very souls, the devil, just beats on us daily, does he not? There's a war going on inside of us, and you know, you walk into a church on a Sunday morning, a spirit-filled church. And the last place the enemy wants you is in a spirit-filled house of God. So you walk in here and you feel this stirring inside of you, and you come into a worship service, and God starts to move, and the very essence of worship is to help us draw near to heaven. And the closer you get to heaven, the more the pounding starts to happen, saying, you don't understand, you're going to have to go back into a Monday, you still have to go back into a Tuesday, you still have to go back into Wednesday, and so on and so forth. And your mind starts to play tricks on you, and you start to think, maybe this isn't right, maybe I don't understand, I don't know what's going on, church. I'm going to tell you something, the name is above all names, the name is the most powerful name you have. Give him praise. He is your hope. Devil is a liar. You're not at the end of your line. It is not hopeless. You will rise again. The Lord Jesus Christ will sustain you. Your health is not going to fail you. The end is not today until the Lord Jesus Christ says the end is here. But until then, the Bible says we will go day to day, moment by moment, and we will do exactly what the Lord Jesus has called us to do, and that is rise up, and the kingdom of heaven is with us. Then who can be against us? It is the beginning and not the ending. I don't care what it looks like this afternoon, and I don't care what it looks like tomorrow morning at 6:30. I don't care what it looks like, because when you have Jesus in your corner, you have victory. And the stirring we feel inside God's house is because there's that conflict, but I'm going to tell you, we decide whether we want to allow the stirring from the enemy to get a hold of us, or we want to align ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and let that stirring rise up in us and draw close to heaven. I'm encouraging you today, church, that you have something, someone in your corner that is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And so when we go to heaven right now to pray, I don't care what your yesterday looks like. I don't care what your tomorrow you think is going to happen. But I know this, today the Lord Jesus Christ reigns. And he's going to reign tomorrow, and he's going to reign the next day, and each day thereafter, and we decide. We make a decision whether we're going to live in a dry season or we're going to live in victory. Just like the Israelites we talked about last week. They made a decision. They restored their own personal homes and lived there, but they didn't go and restore the temple. And God equipped them to do it, but they didn't do it. Why? The opposition of the society was too great. Well, the opposition of the society today is just as great, if not greater, but the Lord Jesus Christ still reigns, church. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, I pray right now that your power resonates in all of our lives more today than ever. Lord, I pray that today, Lord God, we give in more than we've ever given in. I pray, God, in Jesus' name, that we don't allow the enemy to continue to defeat us, lie to us, deceive us. Lord God, I pray that we just move away from that and realign ourselves as the scripture teaches us to draw near to you. Therefore, you will draw near to us. The closer we get to you, the closer you get to us. And Lord God, stir us today like we've never been stirred. I pray for a stirring today, Lord. I pray for an outpouring today, Lord. Let your stirring begin in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Turn to somebody and say, I'm going to be stirred today. I'm going to be stirred today. Good morning, Cross Point. Good morning. Are you stirred? Oh, whoa, wait, who? Are you stirred today? There you go, right? Welcome to Cross Point Church. Thank you for coming into the house. If you're joining us online, thank you so much. Thank you for watching on the website side and the podcast. You'll be hearing that throughout the week, and we broadcast, what, to YouTube as well, and oh my goodness, there's so many places we're trying to get the word out. Our online presence is even considerably larger than in the house, and that's just awesome that we're reaching people everywhere, right? I see that we're reaching TikTok people now because we're sitting on TikTok. The church has launched a TikTok page, and I don't know anything about that stuff. I just know that the word of Jesus Christ is going to get out, and we're going to do everything we can to get it out, right? If you're in a shut-in situation, folks, if you're watching from home or someplace, you just can't get into the house today, thank you for joining us. I know there's people in the hospital this morning, and they're watching, and thank you for joining and tuning in today. However you're doing that, we want to continue to pray for those that are shut in and in the hospital and whatnot and not feeling well. And if you're here today not feeling well, we want to continue to keep you in prayer. You have many ways to seek prayer through this church. You can go out to the VIP center and ask for prayer, and they will put you on the prayer chain. And Pastor Mike's talked about things like on Facebook and whatnot. We will pray for you. We believe in the power of prayer. Are we stirred? You know, I started a series last week, and I didn't even know it was going to be a series, and I thought it was going to be a one-message thing, and God laid on my heart, nope, we're going to continue this. So, church, we're going to continue to be stirred. I will do my best today to explain some things to you and do lots of teaching to help us understand what this means to be stirred and what the process is and what do we have to engage in to do it. But let me do a little bit of review from last week, if you don't mind. We talked last week about just the general concept of being stirred. We talked about the Israelites, which I just mentioned before prayer, and how they were called to rebuild Jerusalem, called to rebuild the temple, the wall around the city to protect them, and all those things because they were in captivity and exile, and God was equipping them to do what he wanted them to do, and they made these decisions not to do certain things and to do other things. They didn't rebuild the temple because the opposition was too great, just like today. How many times, church, do we not do something that God's called us to do because the opposition of our society was just too great? It's just too great, right? God sends a messenger, hey guy, and says, I'm with you, declares the Lord. I'm here for you. I'm going to sustain you. I'm going to stir you. Pay attention. God then stirs him. In Haggai 1:14, he says, the Lord stirred up the spirits. Stirred up the spirits of the men. Stirred up the spirits of the women. He started to stir them. Move upon their lives. For what? To get them to move forward and do something. Build the temple. Move forward. Get out of the dry season of the life that you're living. Move forward. I am here. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what you think it looks like. I don't care what they tell you it is. I am telling you what it really is, and I am your God. Stirring them to move forward. When God stirs us, we got to act, right? Our action is the response to God's stirring. If God stirs, that means he's already equipped you for the stirring. Church, he's not going to stir you to do something if he's not already given you the ability to do it. Sometimes we don't realize that the ability is already there. Sometimes we don't realize the ability is deep down inside of us. That he's given us the equipping. Our response to God's stirring then invokes the blessing on our lives. The outpouring, our response, is that action of the stir. You know, God could stir people forever. We do nothing. We've probably known people like that. God can lay something on your heart, stir you and stir you and stir you, and you don't move on that. There's no action. He'll continue to stir, but sometimes he may have to move on to somebody else who's going to move on the action, right? And we talked about last week how Paul was having a real tough time launching churches at Ephesus and other areas as he moved through the area looking to launch churches. And the people back, the Corinthian people, we talked about that, 2 Corinthians, They were concerned because he was experiencing all this kind of tragic situations and riots, and there was famine, there was sicknesses and diseases, and he was just really having a tough time, and they were really concerned, and they were focusing on his situation. He writes a letter back, and he pens, and he says, listen, there's a bigger picture here about this stirring. There's a bigger picture going on. Stop concentrating on me. It's not about me. It's about what I'm doing for the kingdom. The stirring that God placed inside of me to be this evangelist and launch churches, it's bigger than the fact that I'm struggling with some things and I've got to work through that. Stay focused. Stay focused, he wrote. Let's be motivated on staying focused. God's stirring me, but it's not going to end because I've had some challenges. Church, it's not going to end for you because you've had some challenges. Whether they're physical or emotional or financial or whatever the situation is, God's still going to stir you. Are we listening, though? Are we listening? Because he's going to do the stirring, right? And then it says in Isaiah 42:13, the Lord then will march out like a champion, like a warrior, and then he'll start to stir up the zeal within us. Isaiah writing and sending these messages to God's people. The same message they send to us today through God's word. You have the message, right? So today I want to talk about stirring up each other. I want to talk about stirring up each other. The title of my message today is Reach Out, Hold On, and Stir Up. And reach out to people. Hold on to that relationship. Help them get stirred. That definition of stirring is to move or put into action. Now, God is so good. Let me tell you, I think about the stirring, to move, to put into action. At 9:28 this morning, God put us into action. The fire alarm went off at our church, right? And I'm in my office doing my last minutes prepping, and I'm in prayer, and I'm studying, and I'm focused, and I'm like getting stirred, and the fire alarm goes off, and I jump 3 feet off my chair. Right? I had never heard the fire alarm at Crosspoint Church. If you were here this morning in the fellowship hour, you heard it. But see, the fire alarm is right outside the door of my office. I came flying out of my office, going down through the office, trying to figure out how to shut it off. I didn't even know where it's coming from, right? Church, your pastor was stirred. Like, stirred to death. Scared to death. I didn't know what happened. I will admit to you, two things happened. I thought, is that a trumpet? Right? And I immediately discounted because that's not a trumpet. But what do I know what a trumpet sounds like at the end, right? Because the Bible says at the end there would be a trumpet sound. I'm a trumpet blast. I'm thinking, and I knew it was, or why? Because I'm still here. I literally looked at the walls in my office. I know it's not the trumpet because I'm still here. And then my Savior shows up. John Dorm, right? The facilities manager of Crosspoint Church here, main campus, shows up, says, I'm going to shut it off. I got it. Church, I was stirred, right? Church, if God can't get your attention with a little bit of stirring, he'll get your attention with a lot of stirring. And if it's got to be an alarm in your life, he's going to set off an alarm in your life to get you moving. And I'm going to try to teach you some things today. Some things you may have heard before, but most you probably haven't. But here's one of them. We have a responsibility to move others and put them into action. We as believers have a responsibility to move others, stir them, and put them into action. Oh, Pastor, it's not my responsibility to help that person. It absolutely is your responsibility to help that person. I'm going to explain to you and teach you today what we need to do as fellow believers, to help other believers and those that are not believers, to stir them, to help them, right? Well, it's exactly what Paul did to the Corinthians when he wrote his letter. Don't worry about me. I'm going to stir you. So we're going to jump into the book of Hebrews. We don't know the author. Some people think they do, but we really, really don't know. But Hebrews 10:24 through 25, and it reads like this. And let us consider how, that's a decision, right there, folks, to stir up one another towards love and good works. You know, let us consider how to do it. It doesn't say, let's figure out if we need to do it or we should do it. The author is saying, let's figure out how to do it because we're commanded to do it. But we're not neglecting to meet together. So we're going to stir up everybody, but we're still going to come to church. Whether you come into the house today or log on a device or what, you're going to still engage. You know, back then it was an assembly. Today it's not only assembly, but we assemble with many people watching online. We call that online church. It looks different, it acts different, but it's still the assembly of fellow believers coming together, right? People throughout not only Ohio, but we have people throughout the United States and foreign countries, you know, logging on and assembling together. But it says don't neglect doing that, as it's the habit of some. Some people have just decided, we're just not going to do it anymore, right? But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near, to encourage them plus some. The author was worried that the Jewish Christians would forsake Jesus and return to Judaism. He's concerned. It's a struggle there. Are you going to stick with Jesus, or are you going to revert back to what you used to do? Just like today, we urge believers not to fall away. Stay with it. You're a believer. Don't fall backwards, right? We should strive to stir up that love and good works in one another by inspiring them, supporting them, challenging them, being there for them. And it's not just a suggestion in God's word, but it's an essential component of our walk with Christ. It's required to stir up one another. It's the very reason your pastor preaches challenging messages. It's to stir you up. I don't preach messages to necessarily just make you feel good. I preach messages to challenge you and to stir you. Why? Because the Word of God says we are to stir and help one another. Now, I could stand up here on every Sunday and make you feel really good. And there's churches throughout the United States and the world that do that. And there are thousands of them there. But they're not stirred. But some are. But I'm called to challenge you and stir you. Stirring up one another is about recognizing the potential in each and every one of you. And then encouraging you to pursue godliness. And with godliness, pursue service to the kingdom. That's what we need to do with one another, right? To stir them. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:17, you know the scripture, iron sharpens iron, so one's got to sharpen another. That's stirring them, helping them, inspiring them, supporting them, giving them accountability, whatever they need to do. I've got an investment I have to make in you. You know, there's practical ways, church, that we stir one another. And, you know, I just mentioned several, right? You inspire people. You do what you can to inspire them. And what about support? We support one another. Ever hear the, I support you, right? I support you. Sometimes we don't understand it or get it, but we still support them. We encourage them. I encourage you today. We know great encouragers, people that are just have the gift of encouragement. We're going to talk about that in detail here today. I love the accountability one, to stir one another through accountability. It keeps you on the straight and narrow if you have people that give you accountability, right? But at the center of the stirring, at the center of all the support and inspiring and all those things, is helping people not to fall away. To stay close to the faith, to be stirred, to stay on the pathway that they're on, even though the bombardment of society and the enemy is strong. And so we need to help one another stay on that straight and narrow path that we talked about a few weeks ago, right? In the path, right? It's an investment that we make to help them not to fall away. Hebrews 10:23, and let's dive in. It says, let us hold fast the confession of hope without wavering. The author is speaking to those Jewish Christians saying, listen, don't go back. Hold fast to your hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Church, Jesus Christ is faithful. Regardless of whether we see it at the very moment that he has not revealed everything to us and we still have questions, we'll always have questions, right? But hold on. The thoughts like this, let us hold fast, is not just about falling away, but it's a command to help others not to fall away. So we have responsibility to you and I, right? Not to fall away. But we have a commandment by heaven to help others not to fall away. That means you've got to find somebody, you've got to reach out to somebody, you got to hold on to somebody, and you got to stir them up, and you got to be their person in their life that God has sent you to, one or more. And you're going to see that today, hopefully, better than you have ever seen it before. You ever heard the saying, live and let live? Just live and let live, right? You know, that's really saying, leave me alone. Just let me live my life, right? You're telling somebody, just leave me alone. It's absolutely contrary to God's word. Live and let live. Leave me alone means I don't need anybody else. I got this. I could do it myself, right? I've never met anybody that could do life alone. I have never met anybody that can actually pull off living their life alone. Let me live my life, right? Hebrews 10, 24 through 25, it says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. We're going to be diving into this heavy today, church, but encouraging one another. It's not talking about just a physical get-together. Because the words show up, but to encourage one another means responsibility, commandment from heaven that you have to make an investment in somebody else. That word, encouraging one another, investing in somebody or more than one person's life. We have a responsibility to one another, not only to encourage them, but to invest in them. There's a correlation, folks, between fellowship and falling away. When it talks about not meeting together, that's the fellowship portion. And God's very strong, of course, on fellowship. It's mentioned. People get into habit of not meeting together. That correlation between fellowship and falling away is very strong. Fellowship is one of God's tools to empower people in their faith. Fellowship is a tool that God gives us to empower us and to walk in our faith. And why is that? Because of your need, you need to help keep others healthy, so those people will help you stay healthy. You know, it's a back and forth thing. You need to help others stay healthy, so they will help you stay healthy. And we do that here on Wednesday nights. It will get even more busy when we reengage in the fall. And things happen on a Wednesday night here at Cross Point Church, or many churches, that they designate things like small groups and whatnot. Because that fellowship piece, we understand how powerful it is to engage people in their faith, to stir them, to get them engaged with what? Other people with like-minded faith. And some people will walk in here and they'll be like, their faith will be unsettled. Some walk in with no faith. Some walk in with unsettled faith. Some people walk in with rock solid faith, right? And you kind of know who those people are. And you kind of like gravitate to those people because you know those people will help you stay healthy or get healthier. And then one day, you'll need to help them be healthy and healthier. And that's where the teaching takes place, like on a Wednesday night here, like a small group or whatnot. This fellowship, church, it also reminds us of the love and the goodness of our God. Like, we come into a place, like on a Sunday morning even. You know, I'm not just staying Wednesday nights, it's just anytime. When you get together in this fellowship, whether it's a small group or a larger group or a Sunday morning service or an online or a Wednesday, you start to get reminded of the things of God. And it starts to stir you, right? It starts to stir you. You get reminded that God is bigger than your problem. God is bigger than the trouble that you're facing. God is bigger than that situation. And the more times you talk to somebody of like-minded faith, and the more healthy they are, the more healthy you get, the more you hear their testimony of what God did for them. And that encouragement builds your faith. But if you're in the habit of not meeting together, you don't get that camaraderie with somebody else. You don't get that stirring. It doesn't happen because you're not together. And some people would say that online church, like we have done here at Crosspoint Church, is detrimental to the fellowship. And I would say it's the exact opposite. It provides people an opportunity to fellowship that they don't have any other place because they can't get out. Maybe they're shut in, or maybe they're in a hospital room like we have today, or we have other situations where people just are unable. So now they are able to engage in fellowship. And if it's online, it's better than what we have if we have nothing, right? So we give them this opportunity to connect with Crosspoint Church. Request prayer. Request a pastor to reach out to them. Request the service host that's online with them to speak to them and talk to them and whatever. They can get word to us that they need something, or they need prayer, or they need us to reach back out to them and help them with some situation. And that wasn't present in years past as it is today. This fellowship piece reminds us of the reality of things that God wants you to see. You won't see things if you're not in that fellowship surrounding. You won't understand. It reminds us that the world you're living in is not your home. It's not your final place. We're only here for a season. It reminds me that the Holy Spirit still works in people's lives. It reminds me that fellowship piece. The thoughts like this, the fact that we need to stir each other shows that we tend to have a certain level of resistance in maintaining our spiritual growth. See, if we have to help one another, that means we have some challenges in developing and maintaining our spiritual growth on our own. God gave us this wonderful thing called people to help people. And so we have friends and family and church family and fellow believers to come together and walk alongside each other down the pathway of life. And you hear these sayings like, she's my best friend. She's my prayer partner. If I didn't have him in my life, I would have nothing. Because that's the stirring that fellowship that God has blessed us with in our personal lives to help us in our walk with Jesus. But there's a couple things, church, that hinder that. There's a couple things that hinder our own personal walk. The stirring that God places in our life and the people that come into our life, there's some things that we struggle with it. There's two things that I really, as I go through my personal life and see your lives and we talk and we see in the scriptures, a couple of things. And here's two things. We're kind of selfish when God wants us to help somebody else. We're a little selfish because we say this thing, what about me? I got a whole list of problems here, God. You want me to go over there and stir them up when I got all this? It's a little selfish for me. But we do that, right? We think that way sometimes. And here's the second thing. It's just hard, right? Why? Because we have a whole list of things that we need to work on in our lives, and God wants us to go over here and help this person work on their list, and so it's just hard. It's a challenge. Today, it's harder than ever because we are so full of things to do in our lives that it's harder today to go help somebody else than it was a long time ago. I mean, I remember growing up when my mom was so sick and people would just show up from the church and they were just doing things for us in the house. Bringing meals when she was in the hospital or what have you. You know, we were just helping one another. You know, it's harder today. Why? Because our lives are so much fuller today, right? So we're a little selfish sometimes when we have to go out and help somebody else. And it's just hard. And 2 Thessalonians, it says, brothers, and don't grow weary in doing good. And I think today we're kind of like weary. We're kind of like it's hard and we're a little selfish because we have a whole list. Trust me, church, our list is always going to be there. We're always going to have a list. But somebody else's list has your name on it. And if you don't go help them with their list will never shrink because you're the one called to go to that person and help them whittle down their list to help them stir it in life. In retrospect, you're the one that's supposed to go and get help by somebody else. And if you're not going to know who that is, if you're not showing up. See, the worst thing we can do is just stay home. But if the only thing that we can do is stay home, you can log on to an online church and connect. And it gets me thinking about this list of being stirred and what God, you know, there's somebody out there that's going to come and help the pastor with his list. Thank you, Mike and Christine. Thank you, many. There's people that need help with that list of stirring. Help me. The things that I need help with, there's somebody that God's going to send, but I got to be receptive to that person. Right? To stir me. And then God sends me to somebody else, and we look at it like, my list is just too big. How can I do that? That's a little selfish. And it is hard, right? Here's a thought. Listen, it is not only hard to get going, but it's hard to keep going. Because of this selfishness that resides in every human heart, even in the hearts of Christians. Did you know that? Christians are selfish? Goodness gracious, that can't be true. Pastor's preaching something different here. There is a need for some prodding. There's some need for reminding. There's need for nudging. There's a need for inspiring each other to get us to think the way we should be thinking and to do the things that we should be doing. Church, we need each other. We need each other. And here's something. You're stuck with us. You're stuck with the family of God because God placed you here, placed you there. And you've got to ask yourself, why? Who am I supposed to touch today? Who am I stirring today? Who has God laid on my heart to stir? As God lays you on somebody else's heart to be stirred. All right? So how do we stir those people? How do we motivate them? Takes effort. Takes effort. If you've ever been a school teacher, you know exactly what I'm talking about, to motivate a student. You hear teachers say, how do I motivate my students? My mother-in-law is a former teacher. It's a challenge. There's some selfishness in there because they do it so much that it's like wearing them down. And when I talk to teachers today, it's wearing them down today more than ever. Students don't listen, right? How do I motivate them? And they continue because it's hard, just like being a believer, right? How do we motivate people? How do we reach them? How do we stir them? Let's go back up and revisit Hebrews 10, 24, 25, and here's how we do it, folks. And let us consider how to stir up one another. There's got to be a consideration. The author says you got to think about it. We're going to think about it today. To love and do good works. Not neglecting to meet together, as some are in the habit of doing, but the transition shows up, encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. But encouraging one another. Hebrews 10:25, encouraging one another. It's a word, parakaleo. That's the translated word. Parakaleo is translated in God's word 14 times in various scriptures. We're going to touch on a couple of those this morning. Encouraging them, parakaleo. We're going to encourage you today. It means, here's a few, to urge you, to stir you, to comfort you, to appeal to you, to implore you, get you going, the action. to plead with you. Come on, you can do it. I have hope in you. God's with you. To invite you. And then behind that parakaleo translation, there's an action. Because the word encouraging, there's action there. Parakletos is the action translation word. Jesus used that word of encouragement, parakletos. That's the verb part of it. He used it in John 14, 16. Maybe you didn't know that. He goes like this. And I will ask the Father. I will ask the Father. I will, parakletos, encourage my heavenly Father to do something for you. Because I ain't going to be here. So I'm going to ask the Father. I'm going to encourage my heavenly Father. And he then will give you another helper, the Holy Spirit, to be with you forever. I will encourage my heavenly Father. I know he's going to do it. The action, the encouragement is the action. So says God's word. Translated 14 different ways in God's word. And in that translated words, there's one that I want to talk to you about for a few minutes. It's called exhort. Exhort, right? Hebrews 13:3, but exhort one another every day. As long as it's called today. Now, church, let's pause. I got an inspiration for you today, okay? Every day is called today when you're in the day, right? So what does that mean? You are commanded to exhort, encourage, parakaleo. You've got to exhort, inspire, plead, motivate all every single day. Not only you, but somebody else. I will go to the Father and encourage him to send you help, Jesus said. I'm going to encourage him to do it, and he'll do it. And so he did, right? We are exhort today that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Encourage them to be stirred to what? Stirred to holiness, first and foremost. And how do we encourage? How do we exhort? When we're a little selfish ourselves, and it's hard. When we're a little selfish and it's hard to go to somebody else's list, how do I, Pastor, how do I exhort? How do I do all that, right? Hebrews 10, 22, 23, we're going to continue. Let us draw near. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of our faith. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. There's your answer. Hidden in Hebrews. Life-changing scriptures as they all are. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of our faith. Let us draw near to heaven with a pure heart. God, I need to draw near. I need to get closer, right? Not necessarily just for me, but I really want to help somebody. I really want to stir up somebody. I really want to change somebody's life. Because it's not about me always. As Paul wrote about, it's not about me. Don't worry about me. I know you'll take care of me. But I know that my name's on somebody else's list. And I got to get there. And I can't get there because I'm a little selfish right now. And I'm a little hardened. And I want to get there. And I know it's me. And I've got to get there because if I don't get there, they're going to perish. Get me there, right? Let me draw near. I need to draw near because I need the strength. I need to exhort somebody else. Let us draw near with a true heart. Give me that true heart in full assurance of my faith. Then let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Let me draw near. Give me hope, and I'm going to hold on like I've never held on before, and I'm not going to waver. I got some selfishness in me. It's hard, but I'm going to do it. I'm committed to do it. I'm committed to shut off the fire alarm when it rings on a Sunday morning. I'm going to do it. Thank you, John, right? I'm going to do it. Hold on, church. It's going to get a little deeper. Okay? Let us draw near. So let's look at verse 22. We are commanded to reach out. We are commanded to reach out. The first part of my message, we are commanded to reach out. Reach out, draw near to heaven first for us, because we need to, and then to draw near to heaven for somebody else. Somebody else may not get heaven's touch because we're not drawing near enough to heaven to reach out to them. Look at what it says, church. Verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart, means pure motive, a good motive. I've got the right motive. I'm not reaching out to heaven like God is some genie, that he'll come in and he'll miraculously, supernaturally just take care of my list of problems and just take them off so I could be some ambassador to go help somebody else. I'm going to go to heaven and continue to draw near to heaven because there's a call on my life, there's a purpose in my life, and God's got my steps, and the righteous man is ordered to the Lord. I got things to do, and God's going to help. It's a pure heart. Paul had a pure heart. Listen, it's not about me. I know there's sickness in our team. I know people are beating down the door and there's riots at Ephesus. I know the things are sounding really bad. The word got back. And he writes to them, it's not about me. It's about the bigger picture of reaching people for Jesus. God's going to take care of me. So we draw near with a pure heart to reach out. Hebrews 4:16 back, it says, let us then with confidence draw near. Confidence means you go to heaven knowing that God's going to respond. You go to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy, find grace to help in a time of need. You know, the author of Hebrews is looking back to the first five books of the Bible, because the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, that's what it is, the first five is the Pentateuch. You go back to the first five books of the Bible, church, and you will find the words draw near everywhere. So the author of Hebrews says, I'm going to pull back from that way back, and I'm going to let them know it's still as powerful today as it was in the first five books of the Bible. I'm going to go back. I'm going to grab that and reiterate, draw near to the throne of grace that may we would receive mercy and find grace and help in a time of need. Why is draw near mentioned? Why is it mentioned so many times in the first five books of the Bible, and then the Hebrew author brings it up again? It's brought up before, but it's, you know, Hebrews is kind of like far away from the first five books of the Bible, right? You know, there's some space there, right? He brings it back and reiterates, draw near, draw near. Why? Why? I'll tell you why. Why is draw near so mentioned? We can't stir each other unless we are continually stirred ourselves. You can't touch somebody else. You can't reach somebody else. You can't hold on to somebody else and guide them on their list of things. You can't do that unless you yourself are drawing near all the time to heaven, so you have the empowerment. You have what God's giving you to move you from where you're at to help somebody else and stir them. You don't have it in you, but you've got the power to draw near, and you make a decision to draw near. A guy says to the Israelites, God's here. I'm the messenger. God's here. Listen, he's going to stir you, but you got to go build a temple. You got to do something, right? You reach them. And then verse 23, we are commanded to hold on. We got to reach to heaven for us and reach somebody else to stir them. And then you got to hold on. It says in verse 23, hold fast the confession of hope without wavering. It's really hard to do that, church, when your personal list continues to grow of your personal needs. But I'm here to tell you, your name is on somebody else's list. And just because your list of needs continues to grow, so does theirs. And if you want them to be healthy, and you want to be healthy, you've got to go stir them on their list of needs so they can turn around and get healthy to come back and stir you. God calls that fellowship. And you hold on to that. Hold on. fast to the confession of hope without wavering. Your ability to stir anybody else lives right there. It lives there. Your ability to stir somebody else lives in that scripture. Hold fast the confession of hope without wavering. I know my list is long. I know I have situations. I know I'm struggling. I know I've got this stuff in my life. I know I've got some health situations and financial situations and marriage situations and emotional situations. I know they're going to shut off my electric this week. I know this is going to happen. However, I am the ambassador appointed by heaven to go help somebody else on their list first. See, I'm a believer, church, that if you go help somebody with their list first, then God takes care of your list. I'm a firm believer. I believe in that empowerment. I believe that God wants you to go help somebody else before your list gets cleaned up. I think that's the power of God. I think that's the stirring of one another. I think that's what the scripture talks about. I think the encouragement in the parakaleo word translated 14 times, it means to go encourage other people. You can do it, church. You can do it. I believe in you. I believe in Cross Point Church. I believe in Cross Point Online Campus. I believe in the people that are listening to the podcast today. I believe several months ago we checked how many times we were reaching people. 12 countries listened to us that month. I believe that you people have it in you to draw near to heaven and go find somebody or a group of people to stir them. I believe you can do it. There's a commandment from heaven for you to do it. Why is it so hard? I'm going to tell you why it's so hard to do it. Hold on. A little deeper yet as we wind things up. Listen, church. Why is it so hard? Christians were unprepared for the intense societal changes of the last several decades because we have not held fast to our confessions. So when these societal changes showed up, and all this stuff got all mixed up, we're not ready. We weren't ready. So it's getting harder. You know exactly what I'm talking about. It's not a political statement. It's just the world's on fire. The world's messed up. Things aren't the same as they used to be. It's different. Christians were just unprepared, me included, for the intense society changes of the last several decades because we have not held fast to our confessions. I serve the risen Savior. I'm empowered to stir you and challenge you. I pray that you leave here stirred and challenged to help somebody. I'm preparing you today. See, we have not been diligent to know what we believe and why. And so we compromised a little by a little by a little. So now we struggle to stir the next generation. Why? A gradual erosion took place because we didn't take it serious. We didn't take the encouragement serious. We didn't take parakaleo serious. We didn't listen. We're still stuck in five generations ago when the next generation is only 3% have ever heard the word Jesus. We're kind of failing to stir each other. It's a gradual erosion. And I'm going to tell you today, church, we're going to have a call of commitment here at Cross Point Church, not only in the house, but online, that we are going to commit not only to continue to draw near to heaven, but we're going to go find people and we're going to draw near to them, to reach them and hold on to them, to change them, help them. Whittle down that list challenges in their lives. Even though you have a list of challenges in yours, I think if you go help somebody else and make that commitment, your list is going to just shrink. Because that's what we're called to do. That's the church of Jesus Christ. So church, we need to commit to be stirred, draw near to God, and then commit to go stir somebody else. The church should be filled. Because we're going to go out and we're going to stir people. We're going to go after somebody. And we're going to put our list aside of our needs. And we're going to go help somebody else with their list. And stir them. encourage them. And I'm looking for some people that's going to commit to that today. So church, I want you to bow your hearts today as we close. I'm not calling you down front today. I'm just going to ask you here in a second if you're willing to say, Pastor, I am stirred today. I am going to go out and find somebody to help whittle down that list and help them. There's that list that they just can't get through. They're struggling with. It's me God's called in their life. It is me that's going to go and help them however I need to help them. That's me. I'm going to do it. And I'll not worry about my list, because I think God's going to solve my list when I go stir somebody else. If that is you today, and you're going to raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me, I'm going to commit, I'm going to pray for you. If that is you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray for you. My hand goes up. If that is you, to commit to heaven between you and God, that you're going to go stir people. Once you put your hands up, you can put it down. Is there anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. I don't know what God's going to ask you. I don't know where he's going to stir you. I don't know. But that's the pure motive part that the Bible talks about. The pure motive part says, I'm going to draw near to heaven. I've got a pure heart. I'm going to do it because God's called me to do it. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what it entails. But that's okay. I got a pure heart. I'm going to do it anyways. God's going to equip you to do it. He wouldn't stir you to raise your hand if he didn't already equip you to do it. You don't know what the equipping is maybe yet, but he will reveal that to you. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, I pray right now for all those that raised their hands. I pray, Lord God, for those that didn't and just were concerned or scared. Father God, I pray you stir them to raise their hands. I pray, Lord God, that you identify somebody in their lives that they're going to go touch and change and transform. I encourage you, Lord God, as Jesus asked for the encouragement to send the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord God, I pray right now, Lord God, that you send the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives to stir them. I pray, Lord God, for the people that raised their hand, that you identify today, tomorrow, this week, throughout the next few weeks, whatever, that you continue to stir them to go help somebody else. They identify, but Lord God, I just know that I know that you have already identified many in their lives that they raise their hand, me included, that Lord God, you're going to stir us to go help somebody, do something, transform, encourage. Your scripture teaches us. Thank you, Lord God, that you have sent people to me in my life to encourage me, to stir me. I'm stirred today, Lord God, because you sent somebody to stir me today. And I thank you for that. Lord God, I just pray for each and every one of those hands in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Continue to stir them, I pray. Amen. Isaiah 42:13, as we close, we read this, but I want to read the second part of the scripture. It goes like this. The Lord will march out like a champion in your life. Like a warrior, he will stir up your zeal. Then, which I didn't read before, then, with a shout, he will raise the battle cry and will triumph over your enemies. Church, stand with me as we close today and do exactly what Isaiah says to do. We need a shout in the heavens. We need to shout in Cross Point Church. Church, give a shout. God bless you.